from the biggest stages in golf.
64 foot, 5 inch putt to win his first major championship. That was storybook stuff, Gabe.
To the courses right here in Wisconsin.
Made sure we had plenty of chicken salad.
She gave me a member's service.
She most certainly did.
Salad.
Again, the guy at the front gate thought you were an employee. Maybe she thought you were an employee out here playing as well.
We're talking majors, tour drama, and the rounds we wish we didn't have to post. This is On the Tee, alongside PGA Tour Live Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
So many things we want to dive into, and we are, sir, I promise you, at some point we are going to have fun on today's edition of On the Tee. Gary Woodland is as good of a story as I think you can get on the PGA Tour. Of course, Augusta is right around the corner. Your boys, not going together, but going separately. So we'll dive into that because that's going to be a good time.
Holy cow! I can't believe we're doing it.
we're somehow pulling this thing off. But where we have to unfortunately start, it's the biggest thing in any time this individual does something. It's the biggest thing in the sport because, despite not being a real competitor since a previous accident in 2021. He is still the needle when it comes to the world of professional golf. And, of course, we're talking about Tiger Woods' most recent incident. And there have been more details through the police report that came out earlier on Tuesday that shine, some light on it. Not really. Just kind of the excuses, I guess, from Tiger Woods of why he would have clipped a truck that had a pressure washer that it was hauling, resulting in his car tumbling and flipping on its side and skidding down the road, saying that he was looking at his cell phone. He was changing the radio station in his SUV, which caused him not to see the truck slowing down, which, and I said this when I was doing some shows over the weekend, Stephen, that best case scenario, that even if he wasn't under the influence of prescription medication, which when he was asked, what he was taking, he told the authorities that was redacted. The prescriptions that he has, those were redacted out of the police report that were released on Tuesday. But the best case scenario is this guy was going an incredibly high speed in a residential area. That's the best case scenario. And that's still not great. And that's still not very good.
And a problem that continues to surface.
Correct. And I look around. I don't know if looking at this police report, if this is going to be the Tiger Woods. I'm assuming this is going to be the stance of the Tiger Woods camp. Previously, after the single car rollover that happened in 2021, he was asked about it one time, and he just said, everything you need to know is in the police report, which wasn't true, but he wasn't pushed back on it. And it felt like, for the first time in a long time, a lot of people in golf were questioning, hey, does he need help, A? And B, do we have to take some things off of his plate in order for him to take time away and get that help?
I think the easy thing is two yeses to both of those questions that you proposed. You know, when I heard about this again, I was flooded with a ton of different emotions. The first emotion was anger because of how dangerous of a situation he put himself in and other people.
Other people is to me, that is a huge key of this because we know Tiger loves his privacy. His yacht is named Privacy after all.
Yeah.
But when you're doing what he has been doing on public roads, you lose some of that right to privacy.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no excuse for driving that fast. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Tiger Woods or if you're Joe Schmo from Miguanigo. You know, it's there's no reason to put yourself and others in danger like that, medicated or not, under the influence of anything or not. There's just absolutely no reason for that. So that made me angry. Sadness was an emotion that I felt because we find ourselves in this position again for somebody who's been in the public spotlight and somebody we've built up, to know that I think he's deeply hurting. And I think that he has a problem that he hasn't been able to fully admit to. And I'm sad for his camp. I'm sad for his children. I'm sad for the people around him that still have not been able to get under his skin enough to help him get through these struggles.
It's such a complicated thing. I think with the emotions that you're feeling, I think they're all fair. Because I think it is, to me, it's a sadness and a frustration that he would, I'm with you there. But I still have, like, there's, and again, we are Tiger Woods fans. Like, I have been the biggest Tiger fan for as long as I can remember. But that doesn't mean you can't be disappointed in the guy, angry, upset with the guy. But there, and there's no excuse for doing what he did. There's no excuse. Like you said, whether he was under the influence or not, there's no excuse for that. And I don't excuse that behavior. I don't feel sympathy for him in that situation. What I do feel sympathy for is this guy's had how many 7 surgeries on his back? How many different surgeries on his leg that he almost lost? Granted, through his own fault.
Yeah, for the same reasons we find ourselves talking right now.
But what he has to go through just to manage the pain that he has over the surgeries, I can sympathize with that. Trying to walk the fine line of managing that pain and yet not overdoing it, right? And not overdoing it and having that pain medication take over and be a big, like, I have sympathy for that in that situation. And I think he probably needs some help. It seems like he's not going to willingly admit that he has a problem based on this police report that came out on Tuesday. And I don't know. I don't think there's anybody in his camp, Stephen, that can tell him outside of 2 people. And I don't want to put it on those 2 people to say, hey, maybe you've got a problem. We got to figure this out. And that's his kids. Those might be the only people he might listen to, because this is somebody who, when people have stepped out of line, in his mind, he has cut them off. Whether that was Mark O'Meara back in the 90s and early 2000s, who he felt like spoke out of turn.
Yeah.
Whether that was his former coach in Butch Harmon, former coach as well in Hank Haney. I think he's kind of repaired the relationship a little bit with Harmon. His former caddy, who used to be his best friend.
Yeah.
And Steve Williams. Like, this is somebody who has famously cut people off and cut people out of his life whenever they step out. And so do I think that his agents... You know, do I think Steiny's going to step in and go, hey, Tiger, I think you got a problem? No, he's not going to do that. And I don't know who exists in that circle that would tell him that, which it now either falls. Because even if the tour, if Brian Rolapp says, Tiger, we can't have you be the face of this FCC thing anymore. There are too many things that are piling up here. You got to step away and we just can't have you be the face of this. We got to figure some of this stuff out without you. I don't know if that would be a wake-up call for him. I have no idea. Because... if getting in a car accident, a single car accident that almost cost you your life, almost cost you your leg, wasn't a wake-up call, I don't know what will be.
I think that's all fair. I agree. I think that when you think about his kids, and I just think about myself as a father, like, my legacy is them, right? And I imagine that Tiger's legacy on the golf course will always be his major championships and the events that he won and the way that he changed that game forever, but... I would hope that the legacy he wants to leave is one that his kids can, you know, be greater than him or better people or carry it on. But, you know, his legacy right now is becoming tainted by this problem. And, you know, I don't want to assume anything because I think there are a lot of details that will still come out of this. But I think that this is the 4th time we found ourselves in having this conversation. And I don't know what more you need to go through if you're Tiger Woods to step back and realize that something problematic is happening in your life. And, you know, it's hard because he's always been built up to be somebody greater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sobering reality when you're on top and you get knocked down a peg. And I think that, you know, for not just his well-being, but the well-being of, I imagine, the 2 people that mean the most to him in his entire world, his 2 kids, the time is now. And that's the final emotion that I feel is hopeful, because nobody got injured in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this could be the final straw. And I'm hopeful that with the leadership like Brian Rolapp, or even as simple as not showing up to Augusta next week, being just kind of a wake-up reminder of, hey, you need to check yourself, you need to figure it out, those are the baby steps that I think that we can take to just, you know, think about how Tiger needs to take care of himself and his family, and we need to stop building him up to be something, you know, otherworldly, and allow him to process the problems that he continues to put himself in and how he can, you know, change his legacy once again.
And if he goes away for a while and, again, comes back and admits fault, again, that's another redemption story that people would be willing to step behind him and support him and have him be Ryder Cup captain and chair some more committees and still continue to help shape the future of the PGA Tour, which seems to be his legacy now, because I think he knows, yeah, like the rest of us, that the playing career, outside of maybe winning a Champions Tour event or two, you know, like he's not a serious PGA Tour competitor anymore. So how does he help? Well, by doing some of the things that he's doing. And I think those things would still be there for him because he's Tiger Woods. But again, I think he's just got to step away. And you know how important the kids are to him. I mean, we got inducted, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was, into one of the Golf Hall of Fames. I remember watching it on Golf Channel. His daughter, Sam, is the one who did the induction for him.
Yeah.
You see how much joy he gets, and they didn't play, obviously, because of the myriad of injuries that he's been dealing with, how much joy he gets playing with Charlie in, you know, the parent-child tournament that they have in Orlando every
December.
Yeah, the
PNC Championship.
Yeah. You see how much he loves that and loves seeing Charlie compete and do some of the things he's done on the junior circuit. So you know they're important to him, and I just don't know what the wake-up call eventually is going to be for him.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about how Tiger was raised by his father.
Mm-hmm.
It was never showing weakness.
Yeah.
And I think it's truly a generational thing. And I think Tiger's kind of seeing maybe this shift, or I hope he's seeing this shift from the generation that his father was in to the generation that he can find himself in as a dad right now. And just the mental health conversation and the being vulnerable, it really is, Gabe, like kind of a crazy juxtaposition of the golf week that we just saw from Tiger Woods and Gary Woodland and their own personal struggles and overcoming that versus somebody who has found themselves back at rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how aligned they really are, the two of these stories. And maybe Tiger can learn something from Gary's journey back and the vulnerability that he showed to share his story, and realizing that discussing this and admitting your problems is not weakness, it's actually strength.
That's the strength.
And I hope that Tiger's listening, and I hope that he's reflecting, and I hope that it's not just something that could be wiped away with good connections or money or something, you know, that doesn't allow him to be accountable once again, because I think that he has not been held accountable in the past for this type of situation. And if we keep giving him free passes, you're only setting him up to do this once again. And you have to learn from your mistakes. And I hope that vulnerability will eventually come through for Tiger.
It just seems like everything has kind of bounced off of him. And I think of the mugshot that he had after the 2017 incident when he got pulled over and he didn't even know what state he was in.
Yeah.
Right, like he thought he was somewhere else, and that wasn't the case. And you know, he had kind of explained that one away of he had mixed the wrong medications, and that's what ended up in. I mean, there are videos then of people wearing T-shirts with that mugshot on them. Tiger seeing him and just kind of laughing it off.
Well, we laughed along with it.
Yeah,
you know, like we're part of the problem too.
Well, and
as golf fans and even media members who have propped him up and built him up to be this larger than life character. Well, I mean, it's not just a unique to Tiger Woods situation.
No. And again, 2021 felt like we don't need to dig deeper into what really happened here, because the dude almost died.
Yeah, we're just happy you're alive,
right? Like
you saved your leg.
It seemed wrong at the time to kind of press.
Yeah.
On, hey, what was really going on here? And so then that just kind of skates by. And this situation, again, fortunately, nobody is hurt.
Yeah, but it's a situation where he's driving by himself again, right? And
I can't imagine, again, because this is the fourth time that driving in the first one gets overlooked, I guess, a little bit, because that was when everything unraveled the first time for Tiger in 2009 with the infidelities and everything else. So that would be the first driving incident where he was probably also impaired when he hit the fire hydrant famously. But this one just feels like, okay, nobody got hurt this time, but okay, what is, it feels like more people are actually willing to question what's going on. And I think if he shows up to Augusta, which again, I hope he does not. And he was planning to, because his firm, he helped design a par three course at the Patch, which is a public course that Augusta National has put money into and revitalized in that area. So he was going to be showing up at the Masters for the dinner, for the unveiling of the Patch and all those different things, maybe playing the par three and doing stuff like that, even if he wasn't going to play in the actual tournament. I hope he doesn't show up at all, because that would actually show some reflection. Because if he does, if he shows up, he's going to brush off the questions. He's going to say it's in the police report. He's going to say they were mistaken, because we're never going to know what was in his system.
Yeah.
We're never going to know.
And he's going to put a club in his hands and we're all going to marvel at it. And that's what he's going to hide behind, like he always has. I think the last car accident, you know, was scary. I think empathy has led to now exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
With this and how we continue to find ourselves in this position. And that's why I feel like maybe hopeful that this is the final time we're having this conversation.
Because again, the last time it was, okay, dude, you almost died. And for 4 years here, you felt like, okay, some lessons were learned there. Obviously not. And I think that's why everybody's willing to talk, because everybody feels a little foolish. I feel a little foolish for just allowing, as a fan, allowing it all to happen. And again, you hope he learns, but at this point, I don't have faith that it's going to happen.
Yeah. But we're all humans as well, right? Like, we look at this man and we think about the joy that he's brought us in the craft that, you know, we love. And he was able to do something with a golf club and a golf ball that none of us have ever been able to do. And it's just a good reminder that these athletes are humans too. And they have their own problems and they have their own struggles, and some are better at sharing that than others. And I think that's where we find ourselves right now with him, and whether or not he's willing to admit that he has a problem, and if we can see the next chapter of Tiger's legacy moving forward.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned, again, the parallels between him and now Gary Woodland, our latest champion on the PGA Tour. They exist, and I can't wait to talk about Gary Woodland as he is now headed back to the Masters after a win just 3 weeks after he really opened up to Rex Hoggard on the Golf Channel. We'll dive into
that. Let's lift up the emotions.
Yes,
here.
We're going to have some fun on the tee coming up next. It is now time for that opening drive. Of course, it is brought to us by our friends at Ewald Automotive, 62-year anniversary sale going on right now. A lot of great deals you can take advantage of. Payments low as $250 a month. You can get financing as low as 0%. Just check it out. It all starts at ewaldauto.com. And the opening drive, really, Stephen, again, it's like we're getting a breakfast ball here, you know, halfway through the show or so. But talking about Tiger and talking about admitting, you know, hey, maybe you got to admit that you're dealing with something. I do not think it is a coincidence that Gary Woodland is now a champion once again for the first time, which I did not realize. He had not won since he had won the U.S. Open back in 2019.
Yeah, nearly 7 years.
Yeah, almost 7 years between. But he is a champion once again on the PGA Tour. I choose to believe that is not a coincidence that 3 weeks ago on Golf Channel, he just came clean with a lot of different stuff that he's been dealing with that is unimaginable, unfathomable. And by him showing his strength, and in the interview he did with Rex Hoggard, for those who don't know, so Gary Woodland, he needed brain surgery.
Yeah, there's a lesion that was found on his brain.
And after the surgery, you think, oh, okay, they found it. That's great. He needs brain surgery. He's great. He's healthy. Well, he was diagnosed with PTSD. So even after the surgery, he had a lot of struggles he was dealing with. And if you have not seen it, just search for Gary Woodland on social media. You can find it. Golf Channel posted it all over the place the week of the Players' Championship. And he sat down with Rex Hoggard and talked to him for 10 or 15 minutes about everything he's going through with PTSD and how he has just spent so much energy trying to hide it from the public. Because some guys knew about it. Guys knew about it on the Ryder Cup because he was an assistant captain for the Ryder Cup team this last year. And, in Bethpage, and he said he got tired of hiding it, and he just wants to be himself. So I am choosing to believe it is not a coincidence that 3 weeks later, after unloading that burden, he is once again a PGA Tour champion.
Yeah, it has to be the most freeing feeling to be able to share that, and then not just sharing the news, but the response to the news, and how many people he helped. There's a reason that Gary Woodland last year was given the PGA Tour Courage Award. That is not an annual award. That is an award that the PGA Tour selectively hands out every once in a while. And Gary Woodland received that early in the PGA Tour season last year. And Full Swing did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Telling this story about Gary and his family. If you're unfamiliar with it, he actually wrote, I mean, it like makes the hair stand up on my arms talking about it. He wrote notes to his kids going into his brain surgery.
Goodbye notes.
In case things didn't go well. And to think about that in the fall of 2023 to winning by 5 shots in 2026.
Just winning, going away. Just going away.
And like, this is not even acknowledging and discussing the PTSD. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about the ability to survive a brain surgery, find the strength to want to get back to playing this game at that level, the dedication, the amount of time, the circle around him that helped him on this journey. That in and of itself is an incredible story. And then you add on the vulnerability that he showed a few weeks ago at the Players to the Golf Channel and Rex. That's the type of story that gives you hope as a human. And Gary Woodland, who is well regarded as one of the best humans on the PGA Tour.
Oh, I mean, he had that reputation before all this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a viral sensation with Amy.
That's right. At
Phoenix Open,
yeah.
Where she played the 16th hole with him, made the par, talking to herself about how she can do it.
Yeah.
And he strikes up a friendship with her and her family. And every year was checking in, you know, with the family when they would go back and play. The Phoenix Open was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, again, you could just see it wasn't something he just did to do, right? Like, it was obviously something that he wanted to make that connection. And yeah, you saw how you've seen over the years how good of a dude he is. And then for this to happen, and then for another thing on top of the thing that you can't imagine happening, and now it's somehow getting worse. Like, the strength that he showed, man, the strength to be vulnerable and open, that's the real strength. That's just tip of the cap.
But I think an important thing to talk about here, too, is it's not an individual battle for him.
Correct.
And his interview after the win on the 18th green at Houston was like, I felt all the people around me today. I was not alone on the golf course. And when you talk about the similarities or drawing parallels to what Tiger's going through, that's what I mean when I say I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful,
sure,
that he can allow more people in to helping him through what he's going through, because that, I think, was Gary's biggest strength, was his wife, his kids, and the people that he allowed in to help him. And him just recognizing that playing an individual sport, you know, the loneliness you might feel on a golf course, just knowing that there's people behind you and helping you along, and you know, we see them perform for 4 days of the week, but we're not at his home. We're not, you know, around him day to day and helping him through the lows. And that's the vulnerability that I think is inspiring as just a fan of people. And I'm a forever fan of Gary Woodland and appreciate him more than he ever knows, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
I went back and listened to his interview with Rex, just to, again, it'd been a couple of weeks, and the two things that really stood out to me, that are inspiring, and I hope that a lot of people hear, regardless of what you're struggling with, is when he spoke with members of members of the military, and I think he spoke to somebody who is relatively high ranking in the military, you know, about what he's going through with PTSD, because again, he didn't understand. He's like, I've never been to war. I've never, like, because that's what you think of when you think of PTSD. You think of soldiers who have seen some pretty horrific and heinous things. And the one thing that he took away from that conversation was, you're not strong enough to do this on your own. And that kind of woke him up and allowed him to continue to get the help and assistance that he needs. Because there is no cure. There's a way to treat it. There's a way to live with it. And you have to accept that help. And then the other thing that just that stood out to me is when he was talking with his doctors going through this, and you know, they said, well, ideally, you know, you're probably not playing golf in these high stress situations because that's not going to help. And his response was, well, ideally I didn't have this, but here we are. We got to figure it out from here, because this is my dream. This is what I got to do. And for him to be able to fight to the point where, again, he's winning, he's 41 years old, leading the PGA Tour in driving distance.
Yeah.
Like, think about, I mean, we've talked about over the 6 years
athlete. He played basketball at Kansas. Like, he's an athlete.
Yeah, he moves it. But just think about that. As much as we talk about in young guys coming into the game and speed being more important at 41 years old, I think he had one that was 196 miles an hour off the club face for a drive that was right down the middle.
I want whatever Gary Woodland and Adam Scott are drinking right now, because Adam Scott's moving the ball at 45.
Yeah, he's in the, I mean, he's not 197. I've seen like 186, 187, which is still incredibly quite fast, but pales in comparison to Gary Woodland. And because he is that good of a guy, and because he opens up, it just makes him easy to root for. He's going to be somebody that's, I guarantee, people are going to be rooting for at Augusta, because that's what this win did. It got him into the field there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think you're going to start to hear Gary Woodland's name really get popular when talking about Ryder Cup conversations. Just because I think his level of inspiration is going to get guys around him.
As a player or captain?
Well, I don't want to do this again. I'm going to go with captain right now.
Well, I'm just saying, you're moving it at 196. It's got to be a thought. But I 100% agree with you, because he's, and at least with him now, he's been through it as an assistant captain.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think he was put on that roster for a reason. And I think that that's one thing that they're trying to figure out, is who can be the next crop, who can be the next young leader of this group. And what Gary Woodland just did and the response to it, you know, I think that's just as important, was the number of PGA Tour players and professional athletes who have been around Gary, who came out and shared how exciting that was. It was a huge win for golf when golf desperately needed a win. And, I'm going to root for that guy when he tees it up every Thursday. What an incredible journey, an inspiring journey. And I hope that he continues to feel free when he does what he does as a golfer, as a dad, as a human being. And I hope he continues to find the peace that he's seeking.
We are getting closer and closer to Augusta as well. We dive into some of that content coming up next. Again, that was the opening drive brought to you by our friends at Ewald Automotive. We dive into Augusta next on the Tee. On the Tee is supported by our good friends over at Erin Hills. Of course, we're talking about major championship golf. And if you're talking about that in the state of Wisconsin, I mean, it's the only place that's held just about every USGA championship. And if it hasn't yet, well, you don't have to wait very long, because there are more coming to Erin Hills, one of our favorite places in Wisconsin, in the country, on the planet. We just love going out there because the golf is fantastic. The people are fantastic. You're not going to walk out of there without a smile.
They just really need to build a cottage for the USGA because they're there. Just like, we house you here all throughout the year to prepare for our next championship.
Yeah, and if you're looking to play some great golf and enjoy some great hospitality, just take a look at erinhills.com so you can book your tee time today. Again, it's an unbelievable golf course, celebrating 25 years. Unbelievable time at Erin Hills, erinhills.com. So we are both, again, separately, so not together, because I don't think, I mean, if we did it together, that just, I don't know if that'd be good for anybody. The excitement level if we walked in through those gates together. But we are both going to Augusta next week.
Yeah, I don't need you to see me in that state. Talk about being vulnerable.
This is the first time for you, right?
Yeah.
So you've never been to Augusta.
I have never been to Augusta. I have applied every single year. Mm-hmm. I have been denied every single year, and I've made a promise to myself. If I was ever going to go to Augusta, there would be two ways to Augusta. One, with a credential. That has not come yet. hopefully one day. And two is with my parents. And this April is my dad's 70th birthday. And he and my mom were, through crazy connections, were gifted two tickets to the four tournament days, Thursday, Friday, oh, wow. Saturday, Sunday. And I have knocked on every door, emailed every person, texted every person, and still awaiting a third ticket for us to go. But my mom, being the person that she is, said to me, "You're obviously going to the Masters on Thursday with your dad if you can't find a ticket, and I'll go with him on Friday and Saturday." So I'm flying in on Tuesday. I think on Wednesday, the three of us are going to go golf somewhere in the South Carolina, Georgia area surrounding. We're going to stay about 35 minutes outside of Augusta.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go to the Masters for the opening round. Right now with my dad, and hopefully in the next week that changes, and I'm going with my mom and dad.
Well, and tickets are harder and harder to find because I feel like Augusta has been cracking down on
I don't even know where to look. So if you're listening and you got a tip on where to look for a secondary market ticket, I'm all ears.
Well, that's the thing, because like any sort of mainstream place, like again, person to person, they can't cut down on, right? Like if I had an extra one, I sold it to you. But like all the online stuff,
yeah.
I mean, there were people last year that they figured out, oh, you bought that online. Sorry, we're compensating this, yeah. and that's not allowed.
I don't want to fly down there for that experience.
Correct.
So I know I'm going, which I guess we should just focus on that. And that's a pretty emotional thing to think about. And I'm doing it with my dad, who helped me fall in love with the game, and my mom, who I still play with all the time. And it's going to be a really special trip. Storybook type of stuff for the Watson family next week.
So what are you, outside of going with your parents, which obviously is going to be special, what's the first thing that you're looking to do? Like what's going to make you most excited when you walk through those gates?
So the answer I know you want is for me to go right to the merch tent.
Okay.
But I want to walk 1 through 18. It's the first thing I want to do. I want to walk in. I want to feel things. I want to smell things. I want to hear those birds chirping. And I just want to start at the first tee box. I don't care about golf. Like I truly, and I've been fortunate to go to a lot of, major championships, and it's really hard to watch professional golf in person. You either have to follow a group or you have to love a hole. Mm-hmm. And for me, that property,
picking which hole that post up on would be the most difficult.
That property is the major. It's not the players. And so for me, I want to just start at one, and I want to walk.
Sure.
And I want to see what the undulation that everybody tells me about. Mm-hmm. I want to, just feel the fairways that I've stared at for my entire life. And I want to just take that walk casually, 1 through 18. Mm-hmm. And from there, probably go to the merch tent. some pimento cheese sandwiches.
Oh, I saw somebody, I think it was Claire Rogers, who covers golf and all sorts of events. She's down there for the ANWA. And there's the first posting of the food board of the year. You know, pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50, egg salad for $1.50, coffee for $2. Yeah, I think the most expensive thing is like the import beer might be $6. You know, otherwise everything else is reasonable. It's affordable. Yeah, look, that's where I wish I could give you advice on how to do that. As somebody who has only been there on a practice, I feel, and I'm going again on Monday. So I went on a Monday in 2019, I'm going on Monday once again this year. And I feel like that's the way to do Augusta, because any other major championship that maybe you've attended, the golf course is a part of the story. But it's not the story.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you go to Augusta, because for all the reasons you just listed, like that's part of the attraction of going to the Masters and going for a practice round, wandering around, like I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah.
And, people aren't necessarily posting up on 18 the way they do for tournament rounds, because just posting up on 18 to watch guys come through and practice. So I feel like it's easier to move around our practice days. I don't know how easy it is to go 1 through 18 on a tournament day.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't even care about putting the radio in my ear and like listening to the tournament. I truly just want to feel it. One thing that I'm obsessed about with Augusta is no cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to feel what that's like. Like, I have never been in that environment.
It's that type of environment. And you don't think, well, honestly, like, I mean, you've got your watch. Like, as long as you've got a watch, if you got to get separated from someone and go, hey, let's meet back here at this time.
Yeah.
But you'll probably just be wandering everywhere with your dad.
I definitely am addicted to my phone. And so, like, to not have that is gonna feel like special. I'm going to be with the only people that matter that day.
The first 30, 45 minutes, it might feel weird, but like, again, you're at Augusta and you just...
Yeah.
Have you ever... How often do you put your phone in your bag when you're just playing a round of golf and don't look at your phone and just forget about your phone?
Not as much as I should. I wish I was better at it.
Yeah.
It's truly something I'm still working on.
I'm guessing it's also difficult with kids, especially if you've got like a sitter and
of course.
Like, things can go awry.
If I'm like golfing and, you know, our child cares with our kids,
I need to always be plugged in
because my wife might be at work it's hard to fully unplug.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to be better at that.
I mean, and obviously this is going to force you to do that.
Yeah.
But it's very freeing because every once in a while maybe you'll think about it. Like, oh, I wonder how many emails I have or texts I have, but it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm thinking about is I'm going to fly in and out of Atlanta. It's mm-hmm. about a 2.5 hour drive. I have an 11 p.m. flight on Thursday night. So I'm going to leave the grounds and just drive right to the airport. And just like that, I'm looking forward to that drive. Just me in the car, just kind of reflecting on what
everything
that day was.
That just happened.
I just hope there's not a rain out. You know, that's my biggest fear because I got a Bucks game Friday night. So I gotta come back for that.
And I've been keeping an eye on the weather because I'm going down. A buddy of mine. So how I got tickets, a buddy of mine had tickets last year on Monday. And initially they were told not even to show up, but they already were down there, right? Like they had traveled down there because the weather looked so bad and the gates did open for 2 hours. But because they basically got washed out, they were offered the tickets again this year because he had won through the lottery, got him, and they had an extra one. So I'm going with a buddy of mine. Really looking forward to that. We're playing on Sunday, and then we're going on Monday. And like we've been texting already this week about weather, about what, you know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we going to navigate? He got us a hotel that's like 2 miles away. Do we just walk to the golf course?
Gosh, I would. One thing I want to know from you, as somebody who's experienced it, what is that merch tent like? Because you obviously can't take pictures of it.
Correct.
If I sent you requests, like I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah. So that's where, because Joshy's already put in his request. I got to get Joshy a hat. And Joshy's just going to have to trust my judgment.
So what I've done in the past and what I think a lot of people can do is look at last year's merch because a lot of it is pretty close. So you could say, here's a general idea of something I would like. Get me in the ballpark.
Yeah.
That's like, basically...
I was just in the merch shop for the players, and I've never seen a merch shop like that. And so, I've been a major, so I assume like any brand name you're going to find.
Right. And as the bagger here, you happily accept whatever you get, but you give a little, hey, here I like this round logo one they did with multicolors. Something like that.
As long as Josh is not requesting like a block letters hat,
if he did, you think I would buy it for him?
That just says like amen stamped across his forehead.
If you got him that hat,
because I know he's willing to get tattoos for no reason, I would make him...
For the kids.
You know, get amen stamped across his forehead.
I can't think of anything I'd want less. I can't stand those either.
Yeah. So here's the thing about when I went down in 2019, I went down with my mom. I had one ticket to the lottery, so the both of us went, and it was fantastic. But we didn't really know where we were going. Like, we followed the signs to the parking lot, and we parked. There's two entrances. There's a north entrance and a south entrance. We ended up going through the south entrance. So the north entrance is going to kick you by, like, the main merch tent, which I think is a lot bigger. I don't know. I didn't go in. I went through the south. Had no idea where we were going. So we went in through the south, and then there was one right there, and it was decent sized, and everything that I could have possibly wanted was there. It was probably to compare it to something that you would know when we were in Scotland, about three quarters of the size of the one that's right off of 18th Green at the Old Course.
Yeah, I spent an absurd amount of time in there.
So I would say a little bit more jammed in there, but about that size. But everything that I wanted was still in there, from the t-shirts that people had asked me for, hats, like plenty of options. And I didn't know any better. Because that was the first thing that we saw, we did it right away. They had the station right outside it. Shipped it back here to Wisconsin so we didn't have to carry it around. And then we walked in, and the first thing I saw was 13.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, this is not the main entrance.
Yeah. Hello, Amen
yes,
Corner.
Yeah, right? Like, the first thing I saw was 13. So I don't, and by the time we eventually, because then, well, now we're at Amen Corner, we might as well kind of stick around here. We waited on 11. Tiger and Freddie and JT were playing, so we waited for them to kind of come through on 11 and 12 and kind of hung out on the backside. And by the time we finally got up to 1... we saw the line for to get into the the big merch tent or the big merch area. And sorry, I do not want to waste my time inside Augusta waiting in a line.
That's why I think I can live with, like, I want to maximize my time on the property.
Mm-hmm.
I love close. I want the logo.
Yeah.
But I would never be able to forgive myself if I'm like standing in a line and I wasted 2 hours.
Yeah, which is why
my one day at Augusta National.
So if
anything, I'll put faith in mommy and daddy to, you know, the next few days. Well, if you see something you think I like, just get it.
Just get it. Pick it up for me. We'll reimburse you.
Yeah.
So that's
or Gabe, if you see something you think I'll like. No, just kidding.
I don't know how we're going to approach that again.
I mean, you got first pickings of Masters.
Yeah, being there right away on Monday.
That's a thrill on a Monday.
That is a thrill. So I'm curious to see how we handle it, but again, that would be my recommendation for anyone. It's probably not as big. You're missing out on probably a little bit, but there was no line when we went in through the south gate. It was gates opened. We walked in, we went through the south gate, and the merch hut or whatever you want to call it that was there. And it's bigger than a hut. You know, it's Augusta. They're going to have big choice. Everything I wanted, I got. And we were in and out of there in 20-ish minutes, and then I could enjoy the rest of my day.
If the cashmere hoodie is there, are you going to buy yourself one?
Probably.
After what happened in the Ryder
Cup?
Yeah,
probably.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Nice little green cashmere hoodie. We've got more Augusta talk. We're going to dive into that in the One Call That's All. Coming up next on the tee. Wrapping things up here on the tee, we do have to get to our One Call That's All. But Steven going to Augusta for the first time.
I have a lot of merch questions for
you.
Is there a budget, or is this one where you just don't allow yourself to have a budget?
No, you don't think about it.
Okay.
Right. You don't think about it.
Good.
There's no budget.
That's all I needed to hear for myself.
Yeah, no, you don't. So I will probably be a little bit more selective because I've been there before and I still have my polo and my pullover and hats.
Yeah.
Right? But is it going to be more expensive than I'm willing to admit? Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be more expensive than I'm willing
to
admit.
So Joshy put in his request. How many requests have you received?
So Joshy, I have just three right now. Only three people have made requests.
Now
but
that
I'm
this is
going to
be on the
to,
air, that's going to change.
Probably. Yeah, that's certainly going to go up.
Okay. Well,
I think as a request or two, you can really only do t-shirt or hat. Anything fancier than that, unless it's, you know,
you're charging
your wife.
Interest if you're asking for more than that.
Right. Because I don't want it to be a burden. I want you to just walk by a hat thing.
Yeah.
We're out of there.
Love that.
I mean, the hat selection is also...
Right.
It's immense.
Yeah.
They got a big hat selection.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get a few hats. All right. Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All for this week. It's simple. From me to you, Gabe.
Yep.
Your one piece of advice for me attending the Masters for the first time.
Whew. It's easy. It can be overwhelming, but especially because... like the first time I got to go with my mom. You're going to get to go with your dad. Hopefully your mom will be able to attend as well as you continue to try to excavate that final ticket on Thursday.
Speaking into existence.
Just soak it in, man.
Yeah.
Like, just soak it in. And that's something that I'm debating because on the practice rounds, you can bring a digital camera. So last time I got some great pictures, some fantastic pictures. So I'm debating, do I bring a camera again, take some more pictures, or do I just try to soak it in and enjoy right where our own 2 feet are? Because as you mentioned, we're all addicted to our phones to an extent. We don't get that feeling. Just be where your 2 feet are, man, and you're going to soak it in. And because you don't know when you're going to get to go again.
Yeah, I just can't wait to have that first like cold beer in my hand and just walk the fairways.
I mean, it's going to be early in the morning, so maybe start with the coffee.
Yeah, maybe beer, one hand coffee.
What was that?
It's going to be hard to control.
Well, you got to pace yourself,
man. What's wrong with an 8 a.m. brewski?
You gotta pace yourself.
Did that all the time in Madison. Say,
opening day started at like 9.
Yeah, it's never too early
in
Augusta.
Yeah, and then you blew off curfew. Famously blew off curfew.
You know we had a snitch on our hands, Stephen.
Well, Gabe, I can't wait to hear about your day next week on the tee, and then we can...
And then we're going to get to
I'll have a lot more questions for you after you go through it. I mean, we got a show in between your day at Augusta and then my debut there. I mean, it's going to be incredible.
Masters preview, that's next week right here on the tee.